Are you in favor of what he did yesterday?
Yeah, no, I think he made a mistake yesterday, and I think Reince Priebus has it exactly right as the National Committee Chairman. I mean, Ryan has every right to take a specific issue and say, I don't agree with this, and as Speaker, I'm not going to move it. So he can sit down and negotiate very toughly with the presumptive, you know, with the nominee on specific issues. That is why the Constitution has a division of powers, and I encourage that kind of tough-minded negotiation. But it has to be done within a framework that we're all Republicans, we're all on the same side. I think Paul's comments, which I suspect in part came from the shock, which all of us had, that this whole thing moved up by an entire month. I mean, nobody really thought that there was any likelihood of Trump getting the nomination before California.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and I think it was an act of statesmanship, and I think he deserves to be commended for it, but when Cruz drops out after the Indiana primary, he basically took a month of getting used to each other out of the system. So instead of having a month to keep sort of dating, if you will, and getting to know each other better, all of a sudden, boom, Donald Trump is the nominee. And I think that's part of the shock you're seeing reflected in Paul's comments. But I do think personally that the Speaker of the House is a party leader chosen by the party. He owes some serious respect to the millions and millions of voters who have chosen the Republican nominee. And in the long run, it is destructive to get involved in this kind of a fight. It encourages others to take even more extreme positions. And frankly,
but couldn't it also be another scenario?
Sure.
So he meets with him next week, and they emerge from this meeting, and Paul Ryan says, "I've had some questions of the speaker of the nominee. I'm sorry, I've had some questions of Donald Trump. I've gotten the answers that I need to hear, and I am now on board." Isn't that very helpful to him? In that it tells everybody else who has some doubts about Donald Trump that I have vetted this guy, and I hereby now give him my seal of approval.
Well, look, I hope that's what happens next week. I have no idea if that is what will happen next week. But I also just want to come back to my original point. Speaker of the House has a lot of tools. I mean, he can defend whatever position he believes in by the power of whether or not he even brings it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So he has enormous leverage over the President of the United States if he wants to use it. He doesn't need to engage in this kind of public display. And what he's doing is he's giving cover for other Republicans to suddenly decide, gee, they're going to be purer than Ryan. They're not ever going to support Trump. Well,
so,
that's very – I mean, what leads you to a Goldwater-sized disaster is if all of a sudden a large chunk of Republicans decide that it is morally pure to decide you're not for the nominee. Mm. It's also, frankly, an insult to the millions and millions of voters who went out and selected a nominee they believe in.
Speaker Gingrich, we only have a minute left, but let's maybe help this Speaker Ryan's conversation along here. You have proclaimed your support for the nominee for Donald Trump, so maybe you can answer Speaker Ryan's questions. What conservative principles and values underlie Donald Trump's policies that we can rally behind? Where are his conservative principles?
Well, let me start with the Supreme Court, where the people he nominates are going to be radically more conservative than Hillary Clinton.
Well, hasn't he said he thinks his sister, a liberal judge, would be a good one for the Supreme Court, or was that just a joke?
I think if somebody says that their sister is good for something, you know that they're loyal to their family.
All right. Well.
But I can tell you that the conversations going on between key conservative intellectuals and Trump, you're going to have a very conservative court, would be an example. I frankly think the idea that we ought to rethink our foreign policy is very much in the tradition of Dwight David Eisenhower. I mean, we have been fighting for 15 years. The Middle East is a total disaster. I think it's actually good to say, let's stop and take a deep breath and think. But maybe I'm more critical of the current establishment
than
some of the guys who would automatically go down the same drawing we're already on.